Hi everyone, I want to take a moment and thank you so much for all of you who have been listening to these podcasts. I am beyond blessed to be able to minister, and since 2016 we've uploaded about 131 episodes between sermons and interviews, and this has been nothing but a blessing, and God has grown my faith, and my hope is that God has grown your faith through all these podcast episodes. And I want to ask you if you could do something for me. I would love for you to reach out to me and let me know how this podcast has made a difference in your life. If you want to leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, it would mean so much to me, primarily because this is a way for other people to find out about this podcast. So if you could do that, I would really, really appreciate it. But even if you can't, I am very, very thankful for the time that you choose to download and listen. Maybe I don't know every single one of you, but I look forward to one day maybe meeting you at some conference or so on. So thank you so much again, and God bless you, and enjoy the message.
Good morning, Living Hope. How are we? Have I told you that I love your name? Have you thought about it? Pastor Alex, I'm not sure who came up with Living Hope, but they deserve some honor because our hope is not just in something, some kind of idea. Our hope is not in something that is temporary or dead. Our hope is living, amen? Our hope is when Jesus has done on the cross for every single one of us, is our relationship with Jesus, the rock of all ages. So I want to greet you in that name. I want to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, and also take a moment and thank you, Pastor Alex, and encourage you to honor your pastors. Apostle Paul says that know those who work amongst you, especially those who preach and teach. And I would say that if you're a pastor and you survived through COVID, then definitely God has called you to this, all right? Because COVID did a number on all of us. I'm excited to be on the other side of that. Would you open with me to Psalm 39? I'm going to start with verse 1 just to get a little bit more context, but we will focus on verse 4 and 6 through 6. It says this, I'll be reading from the ESV translation. I said, I will guard my ways that I might not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle. So as long as the wicked are in my presence, I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail, and my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime as is nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Selah, surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. Would you bow your heads this morning and just pray for me and with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, I thank you for Living Hope, the beautiful reminder that our hope is not in something that is dead or temporary, but it's in your Son, God's Son, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for raising up a young generation of preachers and disciple makers and evangelists. And I pray, God, that today we would not leave out of this place unchanged. But Lord, open up our hearts to receive your word. Change and transform us, restore us, renew us, Lord. And Father, that we walk out of here with an eternal perspective. And in all things, oh God, we may exalt you. We may see things from your perspective, not ours. Lord, I thank you for your presence in this place. May Jesus we pray, and everyone said, amen. Well, when I was a kid, I don't know if you remember your first memory as a kid. If you do, props to you. But I remember how my house was my world. I don't know if you thought about this, but when you're young, when you spend a lot of time in the house, you think that's how big the world is. And then one time you get a bit older and you go outside and your world is just expanded. I remember one particular moment when I learn how to ride my bike. And I rode my bike about 6 miles away from my house. And I remember specifically thinking, this is the farthest I've ever been. This is so much bigger than I expected. It's not, you know, just our village that we lived in. And like, I remember we went to the city one time and my mind was just blown, like, oh, the world is so much bigger than I anticipated. But there was one moment specifically in 2001 when we got on the airplane to come to the United States. And man, when that plane took off, I realized, and we flew for like, you know how you do that long day, right? Like the 13-hour day that you fly across the ocean, you know, because we flew to New York and it was just like a really long flight. And this whole time I'm thinking, this is amazing. The cities, the mountains. Let's just say my perspective got blown out of proportion. Like I realized how small of a perspective I have on the world. But what do you do when you start to think, you know, when you are up against the fact of how vast the universe is? The vastness of space and galaxies and so many planets. And I used to work at Boeing, and they developed this telescope where they could see for light years away, right? And God says that he has created all of that. He looks at the universe and it's like in the span of his hand. That is the God whom we serve. And a lot of times we tend to get boggled down with the day-to-day, you know, the mundane. You come to church, and you're like, yo, my life is going to be changed because I've given my life to Jesus. And from now on, I'm not going to be angry at all. I'm going to be patient. And then you get in traffic on the way to work on Monday morning. And your patience is tested. And you get to work, and your boss is just waiting for you. Right? And how calm and collected you are tested again. And we get so bogged down in our goals and the things we try to achieve and making money. And, you know, you just had a fight with someone and that's all you can think about is just that fight and how angry you are about the whole situation. And it's so hard to see past all of that. My hope this afternoon is to get you to think a little bit more about heaven, about eternity. If I were to explain to you what heaven is like, it's kind of like saying, can you explain the universe in 100 pages or less? I have about 30 minutes to explain to you heaven, and it's an impossible task. But my hope is that if you get anything from this message today, is to get a hunger to see things from God's perspective, not yours. To be able to lift your eyes up to heaven when you don't see past your problems, past making money, past, you know, the difficulties. Because you see, we are creatures of habit, and a lot of times we don't understand that we live in a fallen world. We are fighting on three fronts. One of them is this flesh that we inherited, this sinful nature that always wants to be comfortable, that we need to crucify daily. And then we have a fight against the enemy and his demons. And then we have a fight against the ideology of the world. And it's exhausting to fight on three fronts at all times. You also get tired. You have needs and you have wants and you have desires and longings. All of us are so boggled down by this. And it's so easy to lose, you know, sight of what Jesus really came for. Sorry to break it to you this afternoon, but Jesus did not come that you might have comfort, that you might have the greatest house on the block or the biggest car. Jesus himself said that in this world you will have troubles. But along with that, he promised that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And we sort of default to what we know that is so kind of immediate to us. I love this quote by St. Augustine. He says this, the soul, the human soul, is torn apart in a painful condition as long as it prefers the eternal because of its truth. but does not discard the temporal because of its familiarity. So most of you came and you gave your life to Jesus and you know the truth of eternity, but everything else is so familiar to you. And your soul is torn apart between, I know that what God says is true, but yet I have these wants and needs and all these things that's so familiar to us. Right? So it's constantly torn apart. But can I tell you that the very desire that you have for God was placed inside of you by God Himself? I love how Blaise Pascal says it. He says there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. There's a hole in your heart that is designed by God, for God, and nothing can ever satisfy. So if you try to satisfy your life with making money or being popular or any kind of pleasure or drugs or sex or any of those things, you will realize pretty quickly that it can never satisfy, because things that are temporary can never satisfy that which is eternal. So you have a desperate need for God Himself. And if you try to fill that God-shaped void in your heart with something else, first of all, it don't fit and it doesn't satisfy. Have you thought about it? Like, you got your first, I don't know, 10,000. You thought, okay, if I get another 10,000, then my problems will go away. And you get 100,000. For those of you who have 100,000. You thought that will satisfy, and then you realize how empty at times it can be. You get your first house, your first brand new car that you bought. And you saw how shallow all of it can seem. Because those things are not evil in itself, right? Money is not evil in itself. I actually had a question by a teenager. I teach high school, and one of the teenagers wrote a question saying, if money is evil, why do churches want it? And I was like, first of all, money is not evil. The Bible says the root of all evil is the love of money. So those are two different things. Those things are not evil in themselves. But if you make a god out of them, if you think they will satisfy the God-shaped vacuum in your heart, you are in for a disappointment. If you thought popularity were your good looks, well, let me tell you, old age, disease, sickness, and gravity will do a number on you. And eventually you realize that the things you found your identity in, be it money or how good looking you are, eventually will all fail you. And finally, another thing that we are so preoccupied with is this desire that we have for the eternal, for heaven. I love how C.S. Lewis puts it this way. He says, if I find in myself a desire, then nothing in this world can ever satisfy. The only logical conclusion or expectation or explanation is that I was made for a different world. God put that inside of you that you might seek Him and that you might spend eternity with Him. In Hebrews 9:26, we are told that He's appointed for man to die, man or woman, and after that comes the judgment. I read this story that says that there was a tombstone. On the new tombstone, he read this. Well, he said this: pause, stranger, as you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Prepare for death and follow me. Right? So somebody wrote underneath, said, to follow you, I will not consent until I know which way you went. Listen, it's appointed for men to die. And after that, judgment. And I don't know how to quote this morning, but there's only two destinations. It's heaven and the presence of God, or eternal hell separated from Him. But if you do not want to come to the Lord, God will not force you to spend an eternity in His presence. I love how C.S. Lewis wrote this to a lady who was in the hospital, and she was literally on the verge of dying. And she had a really hard time with leaving this world behind, right? So she wrote. He wrote to her, to Mary Willis Shelbourne, born in 1963, and said this. Lewis challenged her and said, "Can you not see death as a friend and deliverer?" Well, that's an idea. "Has this world been so kind to you that you should leave it with regret? There are way better things ahead than any that we leave behind." Ironically, C.S. Lewis died 6 months or 5 months after that. She lived another 12 years. So by writing to her, maybe he was comforting himself. But he's saying something true here. Has this world been so kind to you that you should leave it with regret? There are way better things ahead of us than it is behind us. And when we think of heaven, people, like, I grew up thinking that heaven is just a long church service. And if you were honest with me, I know Pastor Alex just closed your ears right now, but if you, would you want that? I have a hard time sitting through a 2-hour service. And, you know, Slavic people, we push it. We push it, like, or with this idea that somehow we're going to be on clouds our whole eternity and play the harps. Have you thought about that? Doesn't sound exactly compelling, right? But we are told in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard of what man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. And everyone just stops there. And everyone's just like, you know what? No one has seen or heard what God has prepared for all of us. Read the next passage. He says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depth of God. You can know what heaven will be like. If you want to know what heaven will be like, there's a lot of passages in Revelations where it says that God himself will be present. And he'll wipe away every single tear. The most important thing about heaven is that God himself will be there. Now, if you want something more physical, more tangent, think of the Garden of Eden. In heaven, there will be trees and rivers and cities. But the reason why it's so much more important to say that God himself will be there, because the creator of everything that we enjoy here on earth will be there. If you ever went to the mountains to snowboard and you enjoy the mountains, the creator of the mountains will be there. If you ever went to the ocean, the creator of the ocean will be there. The same creator who created the galaxies and who created the atom will be there. I look forward to that. What's better than life is the source of all life. What's better than love is the source of all love. What's better than hope is the source of all hope. What's better than satisfaction is the source of all content and satisfaction. The creator of all of that. You will not be some ghost. You will have a body. We believe in the resurrection of the body. If you want to know what your body will look like, look at Jesus resurrected. That is an amazing thing to think about. You can spend weeks studying that. I look forward to spending about, I don't know, 3,000 years maybe studying music, because I was never good at it. There's a lot of things in heaven that I look forward to. And quite frankly, nothing in this world can ever compare. Now, what we've learned how to do is literally to take a beauty or pleasure and camp around it. And we are selling ourselves short because of this. Imagine if tomorrow I invited you to go with me to Six Flags. And we decided to go to Six Flags, and we drive and we see this billboard that says Six Flags, 6 miles down. And we're like, guys, we arrived. We get our tents, we start to, you know, kind of like camp around the billboard sign. This is great. This is Six Flags. This is great. somebody driving by saying, sorry to break it to you guys, but this is not Six Flags. This is just an advertisement of the real thing, which if you just drive a little bit farther, you'd find it. That's what we do with pleasure. That's what we do with art. The creator of all that says the art, you know how when you had that song that just hit, right? And you pull up to your house and you're like, I'm just going to stay here for a while. And you just play that song over and over and over. And you're like, this is just, I don't know what it does to me, but it does something. Right? That is supposed to stir your heart to the ultimate beauty in music, which is the creator himself. If you ever went to the museum and you saw an amazing painting, and you're like, huh, I didn't know I can feel like this about a painting of just paint splattered on a canvas. That is a glimpse of a beauty that's so much bigger. If you ever had food with sauce, it's more of the stuff the Slavic people really like. That is supposed to point to the ultimate creator. Any pleasure that we enjoy here is just a billboard for the ultimate thing, what God has prepared for those who are in him. I love how C.S. Lewis puts it this way. There's a lot of C.S. Lewis quotes today. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. Our pleasures here on earth, in comparison to the pleasures in God's presence, it's like a child who wants to play in mud because he cannot imagine what would it look like to go on a vacation at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. True joy is found in Christ. Because you see, sooner or later, you will encounter these questions. I remember when my dad died in 2015, and I think we had like in a year and a half, we had three deaths in the family. And they were like my aunt, my sister-in-law, my dad. And it was really like a difficult season for us. I had to sit down and say, okay, what do I really believe about God? Do I get to see him again? Right? There are moments where God automatically tries to get our attention through circumstances. And here's a few things that I hope that you start seeing from an eternal perspective. And these are pretty easy to remember. To look at your boredom from an eternal perspective. The mundane, you know, the daily things that you do that you think are meaningless. Can I tell you that your problem with boredom is not boredom, is a lack of seeing things from an eternal perspective. Not having a vision for what God has called you to do. Picking up your younger brother from practice, it's not meaningless. It's extremely important. I like to say that God hides the epic in the mundane. The moments that you have with your kids at your dinner table are the moments who they'll remember well way into adulthood. The little discipleship nuggets that you give to your kids. The moment that I remember when I was a youth pastor, like some time ago, this kid came up to me and he couldn't talk and he was just like, and I looked at him and I just like said, hey, you matter to me. And he kind of was taken back and I was like, listen, take your time. Like, I'm here for you. He had a really hard time talking to me in that moment. And I realized that real discipleship happens not necessarily just on stage. It happens on a day-to-day conversation with your kids, with those in. Now, of course, we do ministry here on stage through worship, through speaking. But once you walk out in time of fellowship, that is your time also to minister to one another, to have fellowship with one another. If you ever find yourself bored, go to the cross. Say, Lord, what have you called me to do? Either he's called you to run a ministry, go on a mission trip, or to raise a godly family, or to run a business, to provide for people. We are in desperate need of godly, you know, businessmen and godly people who run for the office, God knows. Godly families, right? The next thing I want to encourage you to look from an eternal perspective is when it comes to your joy. The moments that you just really, I don't know if you ever had one of these moments where if you were sitting maybe at a bonfire and everyone's just talking and laughing and you're kind of thinking your thoughts, man, I love these people. This moment right now is right. It's perfect. That is a glimpse of the ultimate joy. Look at your boredom. Look at your joy. I know those are two extremes. From in light of eternity. Because you see, every single beauty should lead us to Christ. If we camp there, it's like camping around a billboard. If you make music your identity, it will disappoint you. If you make art your God and your identity, it will disappoint you. If you make your family, I know, your idol, you'll disappoint you. You are to lead in your family. You are to disciple your family. You are to love your wife, your husband. You are to do all these things. But ultimately, our allegiance, our worship is only unto Christ. Is only unto Him. Money is important. You don't go to the grocery store and say, well, today we're just going to pay with love. No, like, you need money. So working is a good thing. But if you make your job, your career, your God, it will disappoint you. It will crush you. If you make money your priority, money, I always like to say that money will make a great servant. It makes a horrible master. If you're using money to serve, it's a great servant. But if you make money the ultimate thing, it will destroy you in the process. Take the things you enjoy and understand that those are God's grace in our lives. And then allow that to lead you to Him. And the third one that I want to mention that is a lot more difficult, that is pain and suffering, is to see pain and suffering from a light of eternity. I love how 2 Corinthians 4:7 says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying the body, the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also might be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We believed and so we also speak, knowing that He who raised Jesus, Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. For if all for your sake, so that, for is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. What a perspective on pain and suffering. That yes, our bodies are decaying. There's no easy way of saying that. We are being persecuted. Now we are so thankful that we live in a country that someone has freedom, you know, to worship, you know, God and so on. But you've had moments at school, you had moments at work where you're persecuted for your faith. What do you do in the moments where you were devastated by something that happened in your family? Start seeing it from God's perspective. Have you thought about this? Have you thought that even Jesus himself, you know, is this comes in as a helpless baby and is dependent on Joseph and Mary to raise him up? Jesus, who is the creator of the galaxies, because yes, Jesus always existed, just FYI, the creator of all the galaxies. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about what does it take to take the creator of the galaxies and to compress all that glory, all that power to become a baby? If you ever tried to squeeze your foot that's bigger into a shoe that's smaller, you know the pain. Jesus gave up his place in heaven, became like one of us, dependent on others, grew up in stature and wisdom, served, healed, delivered. He washed his disciples' feet. That's something to chew on if you think there's a work in this church that it's below you. Jesus, God himself, did not find washing the disciples' feet below his job description. Jesus did all that. I mean, imagine the humility. He became like one of us. And when the whole world looked at this and said, well, this is not that big of a deal, you know, it was just a kid. And then when he grew up and, you know, they were somewhat threatened by what Jesus was doing, right? Like, okay, we'll just, the enemy is like, okay, we'll just take him to the cross. And in the moment when everyone felt the most disappointed, when Jesus died on a cross and he was buried, when everyone felt like giving up, when everyone scattered except John, in that moment, when everything that we thought and we knew, now to us it's so easy to look back and say, well, guys, just wait 3 days, you'll be good. But even though they were told, it seems like they didn't really think that through. It was scary. But when the whole world thought that Jesus is defeated, on that glorious morning, he broke through. And because him defeating death, we also have hope. I love how it says here, because we are in Jesus, because we are crucified in Jesus, we also have hope to resurrect with him. I love how Apostle Paul says, if the resurrection did not happen, we are still dead in our sin. It might as well go drink and party and get as much out of this life as possible. But if this is true, and obviously he's making a case for this being true, because Jesus has resurrected, we have not just hope for this life, but life eternal. I love this poem, just two stanzas here, but it says, but just to think of stepping on shore and finding in heaven, of touching a hand and finding God's hand, of breathing new air and finding in celestials, of waking up in glory and finding a home. When surrounded by the blackness of the darkest night, oh, how lonely death can be. At the end of this long tunnel is the shining light, for death is swallowed up in victory. So, when David writes this psalm, he says, oh Lord, make me know my end and the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. We are nothing but vapor here on earth. This life is not all we get. And I hate this saying, you only live once, you know, YOLO. I kind of changed it and I came up with YODO. You only die once, maybe. Right? Like, this is temporary. We understand that. We are in a body that Apostle Paul talks about how it's like a tent. It has its strength, but it has its weaknesses. We are dealing with depression and desires and this whole convoluted, you know, thing that we call life. I hope that you are able to step back and say, Lord, I want to live my life in light of eternity. I want to know your calling for my life. I think it's so easy to cut up even at church and like, oh, I'm going to do great things. Can I break it to you that there's nothing you can do for God to step back and say, well, I've never seen that before. Like, that's awesome. You can't impress him. He has seen everything. And chances are, you're probably not going to live a life that significant to really be remembered. Just stay with me for a second. Who's the president in the 1990s? Bill Clinton. Who was the president before that? Bush. Who was the president before that? It's getting tougher, doesn't it? Carter. Who was the president before that? Reagan. Okay, we have a history buff. Who's the president before that? And Alex cannot answer. Do you see that these people 50 years ago, for 4 years to 8 years, they had an article written about every single day, yet 50 years removed, we still don't remember much about them? Do you think that you can do something that'll be so great that, oh, you gotta get your name carved in? Maybe that's not the whole point of a Christian. Our greatness is not that we are great. No, we serve a great God. And if He calls us for great things, so be it. But if by chance God has called you to a more difficult road, to spend your last days somewhere on a mission field and nobody has any cameras to even document what you're doing, serve well. If by chance, somehow, like my aunt, she never ran marathons, she never, as far as I understand, preached from the stage, she got cancer. But I remember literally a week before she died, spending time with her, and she said, Slavik, all I want to do is to honor God in whatever time I have. If it's a week, if it's months, if it's years, then I might live it for his glory. You see, that's ultimately what matters. It's not to be sold on this idea that will you do great things? I hope you do. Will you be rich? I hope you will be rich. I don't know. But regardless what road we go on, I hope that me and you, we live a life that glorifies Christ. That we proclaim His hope to every single person that we encounter. Be it a McDonald's or a Boeing. Be in the mission field, or maybe if you're called to be a Reinhard Bonnke. Regardless in what area you're in, that you might glorify Him. So my call to you this morning is this. Well, this afternoon rather. That if maybe you got so bogged down in the day-to-day things that you have to do, that you lift your eyes. Like Martin Luther, he says, I have so many things to do today that I have to start the day by praying for 3 hours. Right? Go spend time in His presence. He'll reorient some of your plans. He will change some of your priorities. But rest assured that the great surgeon, the rock of ages, everything that He does is for eternal good. Because we are so, so short-sighted. We are so focused on how we feel right now, in this moment. My hope is that you lift your eyes to Him. If you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus. Say, Lord, I've wasted so many years of my life. Would you restore me? Would you renew me? Would you redeem the time that I've lost? If you're called in ministry, I pray that you understand that your ministry is before the Lord, and every other ministry that you do should be out of a flowing of you being filled with Him. Apostle John went on, I love how David Wilkerson says this, he went on the island Patmos and he started a church called the Church of I, John. He had only one member. Because John says, I, on the island, was a minister unto the Lord, and I started to minister into the Lord. How do you minister when you have only one member and it's you? Apparently you can. Because we have the book of Revelations. Right? So whatever God has called you to do, I hope that you understand. The ultimate audience is not what you do in front of people. It's what you do in light of eternity for Him, to glorify Him. So would you stand with me this afternoon? I'm not going to call you up front, but I want to give you a few things to pray for right now. Respond. Would you close your eyes really quick? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, I deliver the message that you placed in my heart, Lord. Lord, may it not ever be said of us that we have lived a life just focused on this temporary life. Lord, let it be said of us that we are eternally minded. I want to invite you, if you have not given your life to Jesus, to give your life to Jesus in this sanctuary. So if you are, I'm not going to call you up front, but I just want to know who I'm praying for. Is there anybody that you have not given your life to Jesus? Would you raise your hand? Just raise your hand, or you can put it back down. I don't see any hands. Because I don't see any hands, I'm assuming that every single person that is within the sound of my voice, you've already made Jesus the Lord and the Savior of your life. And if that's the case, would you pray with me right now to say, Lord, I want to make sure that from now till my death, the Lord, I will constantly look unto you. You are the direction setter. You are my true north, right? Like, you are the one who decides for me where you're calling me. So would you just pray that in your heart? Lord, I want to honor you with my life.
Hey everyone, I want to take a moment and thank you so much to all of you who have been downloading and listening to these podcasts. Recently, a friend of mine called me out of the blue and he said, hey, I want to be part of the ministry that you are doing and I want to financially support you. So I told him that for the last 4 years, I've been paying to host this podcast online. So he decided that he will pay for a year worth of podcast hosting. This nice gesture made me think maybe there are more people that would like to partner up with me in ministry. Oftentimes, when I'm asked to minister at some church, a lot of the churches don't have enough money to cover my travel, my time that I took off of work, and the expenses that come with being in a different state. So I created a fund where all the proceeds that come into this fund from the online platforms will be used towards ministry, be it travel expenses or podcast production or creating any other form of ministry content. You can give through the link in the show notes. However, if you cannot support me financially, I encourage you to pray, and if you can, rate and review this podcast. Thank you so much again, and God bless. Hey everyone, I want to take a moment and thank you so much to all of you who have been downloading and listening to these podcasts. Recently, a friend of mine called me out of the blue and he said, hey, I want to be part of the ministry that you are doing and I want to financially support you. So I told him that for the last 4 years, I've been paying to host this podcast online. So he decided that he will pay for a year worth of podcast hosting. This nice gesture made me think maybe there are more people that would like to partner up with me in ministry. Oftentimes, when when I'm asked to minister at some church, a lot of the churches don't have enough money to cover my travel, my time that I took off of work, and the expenses that come with being in a different state. So I created a fund where all the proceeds that come into this fund from the online platforms will be used towards ministry, be it travel expenses or podcast production or creating any other form of ministry content. You can give through the link in the show notes. However, if you cannot support me financially, I encourage you to pray, and if you can, rate and review this podcast. Thank you so much again, and God bless.